du glad I anger? Gjennom Acasts supportersystem kan du vise din støtte til meg. Det selvfølgelig helt opp til deg hvor mye du ønsker å bidra med. Klikk på lenken I podcastbeskrivelsen for å støtte podcasten.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Når kjendiser legger ut sånn på Facebook og Instagram at det en falsk profil her og der som noen har opprettet I deres navn, er ikke det litt skryt da? Hver gang jeg ser det så tenker jeg, du skryter jo egentlig av at noen har brukt tid på å lag en falsk profil med dette navnet og dette bildet og sånn. Det noe skryting der, jeg vet ikke om det snikskryt eller bare beint fram skryt, men det I hvert fall det eneste jeg henter ut fra det, det skryting. Så hvis noen gjør det med meg en gang I fremtiden, så skal jeg legge ut det og være ærlig på at her skryt. Ingen annen grunn til det, for det jo ikke noe farlig da. Nei, akkurat dere skjønner ikke det. Det skryt. Sivert Mo heter jeg. Velkommen til Anger. Ok, den episoden her annerledes. Den jeg kommer til å snakke engelsk, fordi jeg har engelsk besøk. Jeg snakker med et engelsk menneske på Zoom, så da må praten gå på engelsk, og det sikkert ikke alle som liker det, men her ganske stort og kult for meg, og jeg håper at folk får noe ut av det. Charlie Steen gjest I Anger I dag. Han musiker og låtskriver I bandet Shame. Han mener at anger kommer mer med alderen, og at han kanskje fortsatt for ung til å ha et nært forhold til det, men at både anger og skam der for en grunn. Vi snakker blant annet om Shames nye album Drunk Tank Pink, og hvor frustrerende og antiklimatisk det å ikke kunne spille låtene live, fordi det fortjener virkelig låtene, og har vært I fullstendig lockdown mer eller mindre siden mars 2020. De store forventningene til et andre album etter suksessen med det første, og det å endelig forstå hvorfor folk skriver om kjærlighetssorg. Da går jeg over til engelsk. Jeg var jo usikker på om jeg skulle gjøre introen på engelsk. Jeg prøvde, men jeg synes det var litt for kleint å sitte alene og snakke engelsk. Det er enklere å måtte snakke engelsk når jeg snakker til noen som snakker engelsk. Praten var ikke så lenge, fordi at her en fyr som må gjøre mange sånne type intervjuer, hvor det liksom går litt på løpende band, men jeg så forbannet glad for at jeg fikk lov til å prate med han. Så her veldig fint for meg, og det ble en koselig prat, selv om det ble litt sånn, vi måtte kjappe oss litt. Så her praten med meg og Charlie Steen. Nå starter vi!
Hei, I used to ask my guests first how they are doing. So I'm going to ask you that. How are you?
Very good, mate. Very good. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's different, but I mean, we're in totally different places in this pandemic as well. So I really want to hear how it is in the UK.
Well, I mean, it's pretty shit in the UK. We're in full lockdown over here. With no idea when we're going to come out. So everything's closed apart from shops, like supermarkets to get food out and stuff like that. But everything else is closed. I don't know, like, you know, luckily today the sun's out a bit, but it'd be very cold and dark and rainy. Nothing in comparison to Norway, I'm sure, but, you know.
No, I mean, I live in Oslo, and we have the strictest restrictions in the country. But, I mean, apart from, I mean, in the UK, everything has been closed basically from the start, haven't it?
Yeah, I mean, there have been periods where over the whole pandemic, the pubs opened and closed a few times and stuff like that. You know, it's all done in tears over here and stuff. And but nobody really knows what the fuck is going on.
No, right. But you managed to release an album. And thank you for that. I have really enjoyed Drunk Tank Pink.
Thank you very much, mate.
I think it's absolutely brilliant. And I've been listening to it nonstop since the release. How's it been to release an album in these dark times?
You know what? It's a massive challenge, but it was really fucking good. It was just so good to get it out there. And also, you know, even though you can't play live gigs, there's so many other things you've got to do. So it keeps you busy. And it's just like a really large form of release. Do you know what I mean? To finally have it out there and to see the reactions and stuff like that. So it's been really good. It felt like the right time.
Was it planned the whole time to be released in 2021?
No, it was supposed to be released in September 2020, but the pandemic hit and we didn't have the artwork, we didn't have the music videos, and we just didn't want to rush the release of a record that we spent a long time writing.
And you've been in Norway recording?
Yeah, we were over in Simon Tickner, who used to own the Queen's Head, which was the pub that we started at. Has lived there for 5 years now, I think. And so I've been over a few times, and like whenever we go to Oslo, we go over and see him. But yeah, he's got a studio, the Betty Fjord Clinic. And yeah, we went over there and did some writing back in November. And then the rest of the guys were there for a week, and I ended up staying for a month.
What were you doing apart from, did you record something or?
Yeah, we were just writing ideas. And just sort of playing and sort of being together again. You know, it's difficult when you're in London because you're kind of separated. So it's just good to be like, you know, back together.
Yeah. When I listened to the album, I've been listening to it the whole, it's been on repeat, as I said. And the thing about this record, I feel like it's continued to grow on me, and I still discover new things in the songs. Is that something you intentionally work on with the songs? That, I mean, it's so layered and, surprising.
We definitely delved into the songs and really worked hard on writing them. And I think there are a lot of different parts and a lot of, there's a lot of stuff in there. So that's really kind of you to say. It's always nice to, you know, to hear something different the second time. But there's just a lot going on. Do you know what I mean? Within the songs.
Yeah, it is. But how would you put this lyrically? Because with Songs of Praise, you showed so much honesty and empathy, but a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor as well. That was something that stood out for me, at least. And I can still find plenty of that in this record as well. But there's also a lot of isolation in it. It had nothing to do with the pandemic.
Nothing to do with the pandemic, no. But these lyrics, I guess, were more like a diary. It was sort of, you know, just like me learning to enjoy my own company, to summarize it. But yeah, I guess there's always going to be that humor there. Humor is such an important tool. It's always so good to use, and it's true to myself. But yeah, you know, I think, you know, writing it was different. There wasn't so much like taking inspiration. It was more just sort of quite personal, this one.
Yeah. But the isolation part, it suits really well now then with the pandemic. But where comes the inspiration from behind the themes? And
I think it started kind of just in my bedroom. We came off tour and we'd been touring so much, and then we stopped and I moved into this old nursing home in Peckham. There was a washing machine room and I made it into my bedroom, and that was the first time I kind of had privacy in years. And, you know, I didn't have any more distractions. You know, there was obviously a period of time where I was going to the pub every night and stuff like that, but you can only do that for so long.
Yeah.
And a lot of things were just coming to the forefront of my mind whenever I went to sleep, and I was having sort of really bad dreams and really vivid dreams and having a problem sleeping. And I think this album is just kind of like me confronting myself, you know, which obviously is weird now because it might resonate with a few more people because of the pandemic.
Yeah. How does that feel? Do you get many messages from people relating to the lyrics and the themes?
I mean, it's interesting what people pick out. I think like Born a Luton has been really well received, and a lot of people sort of liking the lyrics and that in the chorus. But yeah, it's always interesting. But, you know, stuff like isolation and heartbreak and optimism and stuff, it doesn't matter the context. They're universal, you know.
Yeah. I also, I read in an interview with you that you'd gone through a breakup before working on this record, and that you write about those things in songs like Human for a Minute and Snow Day on this record. And you also said that you've been joking around about that you never wanted to write about heartbreak and that kind of stuff, because everybody does that. But when you went through it, you finally understood, that's why.
Definitely. I mean, I never wanted to write about that when I was like 18 or whatever, but I'd never experienced it. And then when you do, it's just all that you can fucking write about. I just wanted to always be, do you know what I mean? And whatever I write, I just wanted to be honest. And this was what was on my mind. And so it was very honest in that sense. It was a challenge in itself to do something that personal.
Yeah. And the title, Drunk Tank Pink, I read that it came from a collar used in holding cells.
Yeah. So it was a collar in the 1960s that when they were trying to fight the high rate of violence in the drug war pandemic, this guy called Baker Miller came forward. And said he'd come up with a solution to it, and it was a certain shade of pink, which he then called Baker Miller Pink, and they put it into prisons and schoolrooms and all that kind of stuff. It was coincidentally the room that I lived in that nursing home. The final thing I did to it was paint it entirely pink.
Yeah.
So it was a weird thing, you know. It dealt with the same themes of the subconscious and repressing anger and having to confront yourself.
Yeah, and the color was meant to be calming.
Yeah, it's meant to be calming. And, you know, I painted it pink because I called it the womb because I was in my mum's stomach for 10 months.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was only after we wrote and recorded the record that I found out about Baker Miller Pink. And it all just kind of seemed to tie together.
Yeah. I've heard about green color in prisons, but I've never heard about the pink color.
Yeah, well, green is supposed to be the most calming color.
Yeah,
that's why, like, watching football, like, you know, and stuff and sport is so, you know, you have green backgrounds. You know, people play on green on grass and green pitches at Wimbledon and Wembley and stuff like that. But you know. Yeah, I just think colour's quite interesting. Colour also deals with perception, which is a lot of what this record about, you know, like how we relate colour, like, is to our own context. Like, you know, in Norway and the UK and stuff like that, we'd say, oh, it's white like snow.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in other areas of the world, like maybe in Africa, there would be sort of a different expression of it. You know, white like sand.
Yeah. But I saw you play in Tromsø. In 2018 in Norway.
Oh, jokes.
That was absolutely fantastic to watch you. How much do you miss it?
So fucking much with everything, you know. It's the most, you know, it's such a different form of release than anything else you can get in life. And it's just the travelling as well, do you know what I mean? We've been so sort of, you know, locked off from everything for so long, and everyone has. But yeah, you know, but you just have to, you can't really think about that, you know, you just have to sort of move forward.
Yeah. But do you like, do you, is there a glimmer of hope in the near future?
I fucking hope so.
Yeah.
It can't get much worse.
No, it can't. Also, as I said, when I watched you live at Bukta in Tromsø, it was absolutely amazing seeing the energy and feeling the energy from an amazing record that I love, Songs of Praise. Seeing that live, yeah.
How is it to release an album then without being, without, yeah,
when you can't play it?
It's difficult. It's really fucking hard. You know, you just got to think about all these other things you can do. We did like a 12-hour live stream, you know, and, you know, it's fucking tricky, you know. But you just get, like I said, you just got to fucking, you know, got lemons, try and make fucking, try and put some in the tequila or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you want to make the best of a situation.
Yeah. What are you doing then now? These times.
I'm about to hop in my jacuzzi and then I'll go for a drive in my Rolls Royce later. And no, I'm just making a coffee in my flat.
Yeah.
You know, I'll probably, it's Friday, so I'll have a few drinks later. It's been quite a long week. But, you know, reading, watching TV, watching The Sopranos, reading James Baldwin. Okay, there's still lots of stuff to do. You know, we need to get back to writing, which we will be doing very shortly.
Have you started The Sopranos again?
No, I've never seen it before.
You've never seen it?
No, I started it twice. I watched the first season twice, but we were touring at the time. And so I'd come back and I'd try and pick up where I left off. I couldn't remember what had happened before.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now I've been able, you know, it's unbelievable. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, you like it?
I fucking love it.
It must be good. I mean, you're actually really lucky that you haven't seen it because it's...
Yeah, I feel that. I feel,
yeah, it's one of the best series. But you've been busy. I mean, you talked about the stream that you had. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It was, yeah, so it was, we did a 12-hour stream from our record offices. It was only us there. I did a painting. We did like fucking Eddie did this like hot wings challenge, and then we just like spoke till we put like fans on and stuff like that. And we had chats with Phoebe Bridgers and the Murder Capital and Geordie from Black Midi and Eamon from The Chaps and Kai from Folly Group, just loads of people. It's really, you know, it's actually really fun. You could just engage and interact with people.
Yeah, I want to hear more about the record. Is there anything that you want to say about it?
Just, I think we're all very proud of it. I think, you know, there's just there's confidence on it, and you know, I think. I think I'm really happy with it, really proud of it, and just can't wait to play the songs live.
I understand that. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Thank you very much.
This podcast is about regret in some ways.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
So I have to ask you this question because I have to. What's your relationship with regret?
I don't know what my I don't feel I've lived enough yet to have. Do you know what I mean? I don't. There were things that kept me up at night, but they weren't regrets. They were more just sort of sorrows. You know, to live in regret is to live in the past, isn't it? I wouldn't really want to do that. And you know, always, do you know what I mean? There are things, you know, regrets are, you know, unstoppable forces. It's just like, oh, if only I'd, you know, got on that plane and, you know, I would have gotten home and wouldn't be stuck in an airport 15 hours. That's a weird example to use. But, you know, I mean, you know what I mean? Or like, only I'd have spoken to that person in the pub, you know, could have. But I don't really get, do you know what I mean? It's just sort of like, I don't. Definitely have other things, but I don't know about regrets. I just sort of think more like, you know, I don't think what could I have done differently. I think what can I do now?
You don't dwell on things or just...
No, I mean, if that's one thing that this pandemic has taught me is it's just kind of like, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. Yeah. You know, you can't change something. You know what I mean? They're just going to happen. Life. C'est la vie.
Yeah. Life happens. But you said sorrows. Is that something that you spend time with?
I mean, who doesn't? Yeah. You know, I think so. I think, you know, I definitely have the tendency to overthink, but what I'm trying to do is not do that. You know, I just want to, you know, I think if this, you know, the pandemic, I just want to appreciate things, you know, going for walks or chatting to your mates or, you know, and that's what I want to do now. I'm just sort of, you know, I think, you know, there's so much negativity at the moment. It's also easy, so easy to fall into that trap that I just don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard. It's a battle, isn't it? You know, but I don't know. I guess my sorrows are short-lived, I would hope. And then, you know,
that's nice.
There's always going to be one thing. Do you know what I mean? I just try and think about what I can do differently in the future, I guess.
Yeah. But what about? I always talk about regret's sister, and she's called Shame, which is fittingly here. What's your relationship with shame as an emotion?
There is no life without shame.
No. in so many ways.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, like, shame is human, isn't it? It's a human, very big part of all of our lives, I'm sure. You know. You know, if you meet a person who's without shame, then they're probably going to fucking end up in prison, you know. Yeah. Or in some Netflix documentary.
Yeah, it's the most dangerous people. It's the persons who like say they have no shame, because you have to have some shame, but it can be overwhelming sometimes as well. Yeah, but shame is a feeling that you can relate more to than regret.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. But, you know, it's a... Yeah.
But do you think that regret has something to do with age? That it comes more when you get older?
Yeah, because it's reflective, isn't it, regret?
Yeah.
Shame can be instantaneous. Or it can be presumed that it's going to happen. Whereas regrets are, you can say, oh, I might regret this, you know, so maybe in that sense you can sort of live it in the future. But But you know what I mean? It's like what are regrets? You know what I mean? Is it like when you wake up and you got to go to work and you're like, fucking hell, I shouldn't have stayed up till 4 a.m. You know what I mean? It's like, I shouldn't have done that. Or is it like, if only I'd have told, you know, that girl I loved her before she married that guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, certain things will happen at stages in your life, I'm sure. Is it like, you know, why didn't I learn a language? Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? You know, it's not the best company. But it's probably an internal company, you know?
Yeah.
But in these times, I write songs myself. But are you the type that gets most inspiration from like darker periods, or how do you write songs?
I don't know. I mean, you know, the rest of the band writes the songs and then I do the lyrics, and I guess it's sort of like, I always think, you know, I haven't, you know, so far it's been, there's quite a lot of stuff to sort of like inspire, you know. It just depends whether you want to be internal or external.
Yeah.
It's a big option.
But after the first record, was it pressure to write more, or
I think after the first record, I think you just sort of, you've been away for so long, you haven't written for so long, that you kind of, it's that teething period. So, you know, in that sense, it is I guess a bit more difficult because you're trying to sort of work out what you want to say a bit, but you've got more confidence because you've been doing it for longer, so you're kind of aided by that.
Yeah. Do you feel that you got better at it?
I would like to think so, doing it for 5 years. Yeah. But I guess people are the judge of that, I'm sure. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's, I'm sure some people say it isn't, and you know, there's that joy, and you know, like it's different. Do you know what I mean? Like, not every gig is going to be the same, and but you're just sort of more aware. It's why those sort of like, you know, the grassroots shows are so important, because you learn how to deal when the mic doesn't work halfway through a song, or a guitar gets unplugged, or somebody breaks a string, or the drumstick breaks. You know what I mean? Like, all of those things are working out. So in that regard, you're more confident because you know what to do in those situations when you're live. And musically, the bands have been playing, you know, 300 shows. So they were just a lot more capable of their instruments, confident.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to get better when doing it so much. But also, yeah, but about the live things, are you missing the boring parts as well, like sound checks? Or
I don't think you ever miss those. Well, yeah, some, you know, not always this way, but you know, some, you know, it's not what I think of when I think of touring, but that is such a large part of it, which is the irony.
What about like, I mean, when you write your lyrics, where does it? Are you like the type that sits down and think, now I'm going to write something? Or does it like show up in your mind?
Or triple waves. You know, sometimes I hear them playing something, I'll come up with an idea. Then sometimes I'll sit down and I'll write something. And then other times I might, you know, after a few drinks, you know, just start writing then. Completely depends. Or you're watching a TV show and you like something, and you read an article and you write something. You know what I mean? But I guess you need to sort of look for something in some ways. But a lot of the time, you know, it happens quite naturally.
Yeah. Do you have like your notes on your phone? Is that full of lyrics?
I do use my phone if I'm out and about, like if I'm on the bus or whatever, but any other situation, I've got all my notebooks.
Yeah. You actually physically write it?
Yeah.
Does that feel better? Like, is it more?
I don't know if it feels better, but it's good to use both. You know, on your phone, I guess it's like when it's handwritten, I guess you can look at it more. But when it's on a phone, I guess you can try around different words easier without it all becoming scribbles and messy. Yeah. I don't really know. You know, it's each their own.
But a little bit about regret again, that you, I mean, it feels good, but it sounds good to not have it. I mean, I have a lot of regrets. And I use way too much time on it.
I don't know if I don't have regrets, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm human, but
yeah.
But I'd say, like you said earlier, I probably feel closer towards shame than I do regret.
Yeah. But is it can you take something from shame or regret in a positive way?
Yeah, of course. It's the only way, you know, it's the reason they're there. You know, the easy, you know, like I think the large way is they're there is to sort of halt you, but in so many ways they can progress you You know, it's they're exposing, and anything exposing is usually quite hard because it's, you know, it might be based around reality, and it's very easy to live in your imagination. But you know, I think if you're sort of aware of them and you just try and progress, then you know they're necessary. They're all necessary.
Yeah. I see that we run out of time now, Charlie, and it was an absolute pleasure talking to you. And yeah, again, I absolutely love the new album, Drunk Tank Pink, and I can't wait to see you live again. Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time, mate. I really appreciate this.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you for buying the record and getting the ticket. Really, really, really appreciate that, honestly, and for listening to the record. Next time I'm in Norway, whether or not it's, you know, we're playing shows, I'll come and hit you up.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Wicked. I'll speak to you in a bit, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a lovely day, brother. Bye.
You too.
Okay. That was me and Charlie. Nå skal jeg ikke snakke mer engelsk. I'm sorry if you're still listening for English talking. Now I'm going to go over to talking Norwegian again, because that's what I do. En kjempefin kort prat med meg og Charlie. Jeg vil si tusen takk til, først vil jeg si takk til Markus Utesrud, som er gitarist i bandet mitt, som hadde en connection med noen. Han hadde sett at Shame var i studio her og der en gang før jul i Norge, at han var i studio, som vi så vidt snakket om, og så sa jeg det, shit, går det an å få tak i dem da? Og så gikk det litt sånn der frem og tilbake, så da vil jeg si takk til Markus først, veldig glad i deg. Tusen og takk til Carl August Eriksen, som var i studio med dem og fikk satt meg i kontakt med Charlie. Vi har, altså, jeg er så glad i det bandet her, så det å ha fått snakket med han, jævla hyggelig fyr, og det å få gjort sånne ting, det er da jeg ser på en måte verdien med internett, og da skjønner jeg, når man liksom får tak i så fine folk, og liksom over dammen. Jeg blir veldig glad. Jeg er glad for å ha fått gjort det, og anbefaler virkelig å høre Drunk Tank Pink-plata, og den første, hvis du ikke har hørt Shame, så må du det. Det må du. Hvis du har lyst til å være en av de kule bakerst i bussen, som sier sånn, ja, jeg setter med beina i setet, fordi jeg er fast lytter av Anger, da abonnerer du selvfølgelig der du hører på Anger, og så blir jeg kjempeglad hvis du gir meg masse stjerner og omtaler og sånne ting. Jeg blir kjempeglad når jeg leser sånne ting. Og så, faen, det er lenge siden jeg har sagt at altså, Anger er jo selvfølgelig på Instagram og Facebook, der jeg legger ut bilde og video hver uke der, så det må jo folk gå og sjekke ut hvis man har lyst til det. Mye fine bilder og videos. Og ja, send en mail eller melding hvis du lurer på noe. Gjør det da. Vi høres. Hei!
Produsert av Klinge.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.